What's your take on panitumumab?
Well, panitumumab, of course, is the fully humanized anti-EGF antibody, so it seems to be as active as cetuximab in the trials that have been presented so far. It has the advantage of fewer infusion reactions, but apparently we see fewer of that in New York than they see in Tennessee when I talk to my colleagues from Vanderbilt. And I guess it's just because New Yorkers are so immunosuppressed from living in New York that they don't form antibodies. I don't know. You know, they're overstimulated. So that kind of hasn't been a problem for us. But in the places that seem to have more of a problem with that, I guess it is beneficial to not have to deal with that so much. And the other advantage is that the schedule that it's piloted on is every 2 weeks. So that is actually a convenience to the patient and probably to the doctor as well that might make one choose that over cetuximab. But I don't think in terms of activity there's a big difference. In fact, you could probably give cetuximab every 2 weeks, and I believe that there will be some data at ASCO this year on 2-week schedule for cetuximab. So it may not make a whole difference in terms of the drugs themselves. What may make a difference is that panitumumab is already in a frontline trial in combination with bevacizumab, and if that's positive, that would give them the first data for combined anti-VEGF and anti-EGF therapy, and I think that would influence people to use it more.
What was your take on the data that was reported recently looking at panitumumab versus best supportive care?
That's interesting data, and of course, I commend Amgen for having conducted that study because the studies that have been done to date with cetuximab don't really show how beneficial it is compared to, you know, any third-line therapy or no third-line therapy. So that did show a large difference in time to progression and that it's actually beneficial. I have not seen all the data, but I think that that confirms what we would have expected for either drug. These drugs are really very active, and I was very impressed by them when we first started using them back in 1999 and 2000 in the very first trial that was reported by Len Saltz by ImClone. And we had patients who had 5 or 6 prior regimens that were growing right through irinotecan, and you added this antibody and they responded again with 50% shrinkage, and that was 11% of the patients. Another 30 or 40% had disease stabilization where they've been growing. So I have no question that these are active drugs that are really adding to patient care. And I have the sense from the trials that we're doing now in not only the colon cancer bond trials, but also some pancreas trials, that blocking both pathways is really a very good strategy and gives a lot more activity than either drug alone.
If panitumumab were available right now, where do you think it would fit in a non-protocol setting?
Personally, I think a lot would depend on the particular practice or institution in terms of if they want to go to a 2-week schedule or not, and probably more than anything will depend on their pricing strategy. I think that we can pretty much look at them as equivalent drugs.
Equivalent, if you were going to use panitumumab, would you use it as a single agent or combined with chemotherapy?
Well, as with cetuximab, I think that in general you should use it with chemotherapy unless the patient can't tolerate chemotherapy.